there with me. And we're also going to read from the book of Psalms in one section. So we're just going to, this is kind of a, just one verse here and one verse there. And we're going to discuss another principle tonight in the Bible. And last week we talked about Pentecostal expression. Well, tonight we're going to talk about something completely different. Something I feel like God just has for the church tonight. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11. When you get there, just give me a good amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 11. Can we read this together? Let's read it together. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. Amen. Let's read it again. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. How often? Continually. All the time. Amen. Psalms chapter 105 and verse 4. Psalms chapter 105 and verse 4. Go there. In the big old book of Psalms. Amen. 105, verse 4. Together. We'll read this together as well. That one verse of Scripture. You ready? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Amen. Same principle. Basically a different part of the Bible. But you know the principles throughout Scripture is when there's a theme in Scripture that God just uses different authors, different places. And He reiterates the same thing. Tonight, what I desire to do, and like I said, most nights on Sunday nights is kind of pastoral preaching. Tonight I'm going to preach to you on what it means to seek the face of God. What it means to seek His face, or what it means to seek the face of God, or the face of Jesus, however you like to say it. So basically tonight, if the title of this is What It Means to Seek His Face. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter into this precious theme in Scripture tonight, God, I need Your help, Lord. Because, God, I do believe our spiritual vitality depends on this. The will of God depends on this. Lord, our families depend on this. Our church depends on this. Lord, learning to seek Your face. Learning to enter into Your presence. Learning to come before the throne of grace. And I would tonight, Lord, You'd anoint us. You'd help us, God. You'd strengthen us. And I would, God, that You anoint this congregation tonight. Lord, help me preach Your Word. I need You. I need You. I need You, God. 100 times over, I need You. You know my heart, God, and You know what You've laid on my heart tonight. In Jesus' name, we do love You. And everybody said, amen. What it means to seek His face. We're going to talk to you tonight from my heart. I don't want to get too fast. I feel like I'll miss something. What does it mean to seek the face of God? These terms that we often use within the Christian world in its Christian lingo, which means we tell you, you need to seek the face of the Lord and you need to seek His face. We say that at times, my friends, without really, I think sometimes, without getting what that means in its totality. What does God mean? Or what does the writers mean when He says, seek the Lord in the strength, seek His face continually, or seek the Lord in the strength, seek His face evermore? You understand today and follow me, seeking the Lord and seeking His face, it means to seek His presence. It literally means when you study the Bible, it is a common translation in the Hebrew word that when we say the word presence, it's talking about His face. It's talking about being in the presence of God Almighty, or being in the presence of the Triune Godhead, being in the face or being in the presence of Jesus. Just like today that we are in each other's presence. Here tonight, we sit among each other. We talk to one another. We fellowship. We commune. We're praying. We're worshiping together. So when we say seek the Lord, seeking His presence is actually the Hebrew word translated face. So when we say seek His face, we're saying seek His presence. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people that throughout the years we use this wording. We say, I'd like to meet so-and-so. And we say, look, I'd like to meet this person. And I'd like to meet this person. Some would say, I'd like to meet the president. Some like to meet this. And I can't think of anybody. I want to meet Jesus. Amen. It's about the best I come up with. Nice to meet people all the time. But the best person you could ever meet face-to-face is when you learn that you can come face-to-face with God Almighty. Literally, when we seek His presence and we seek His face. And my friend, we must understand this today, because the question comes up when we say you need to seek His face or you need to seek His presence. The question comes up that people will say, but aren't His children always in His presence? Well, yes and no. You know, yes, you are in the presence of God. How many knows God's omnipresent? Amen. He's here tonight. He's going to be with you tonight when you lay down in your bed. He's there. Amen. When you get in your car, He's there. When you go to the grocery store, He's there. He is omnipresent. So yes, my friend, therefore, He's always near everything and everyone. He holds everything in His being. His power is ever present. It's sustaining. It's governing all things all the times. And guess what? There's a second yes to this. He's always present with His children in the sense of His covenant promises. How many knows God made His promises? Amen. How many know God always keeps His promise? How about the promise like this? He says, look, behold, I am with you always to the end, even unto the end of the age. That is a promise. So yes, it is a yes and a yes to that, that He is always with us, but there is a sense in which God's presence is not always with us. Now follow me. You've got to follow me. You always think I'm crazy. You just say, Brother Derek, you say yes. Now you're saying no. Follow me. There is a sense, our friends, that for this reason, the Bible repeatedly calls us to seek the Lord and to seek His presence continually. My friend, there's many times that we go in our lives and that God's manifest, conscious, trusted presence is not always our constant experience. He's there, but you don't feel Him. He's there, but you don't really live in that consciousness. And even though you know He's watching you, and even though you know He cares and all of that, my friend, there are seasons that, my friends, we become kind of neglectful of God and give Him no thought, my friends. Maybe through a period throughout the day that we find ourselves and find Him unmanifested to us. Follow me. That's why the Bible says, seek His presence continually. It is this idea that this is unperceived as great and beautiful. This idea that even though we know God is great, He's always there. His face, the brightness of His personal character, sometimes, my friend, is hidden behind a curtain of carnal desires. And I really wanted to put together an illustration tonight, but you ever pray and God showed you an illustration and you go to find something to put the illustration together and you just can't find it? I searched every corner of this building looking for a door frame. It ain't here. I didn't expect it to be, but I've been surprised here a few times. I said, looky here. There it is. I was going to put a door frame up here if I could find one. I thought about taking apart the puppet thing. I didn't want to do that, though. You know, I was going to put a door frame up here, and I was going to put like a curtain, shower curtain, and I was going to put maybe a picture of God standing over here and us sitting right here praying. And even though we know God is there, it's almost like sometimes a curtain of carnal desires get between us and the Lord. Doesn't mean we're not saved. Doesn't mean we do not love Him. But sometimes there's so many things on our mind. Sometimes we're going about our business. There's so many times in different areas throughout the day, my friend, that we just, even though we know He loves us and we love Him, we know His presence is there, we're not really feeling His presence like we desire to feel His presence. You know why we come to the house of God when you begin to worship God? You know why you feel His presence rush you all of a sudden? Because you're moving the curtain is what you're doing. Worshiping God, you know, you're with the saints. That's why I think it's so important to come in church. It helps you move the curtain a little bit. It helps you get it out of the way. It helps you get the things off your mind. And even though, my friend, the curtains doesn't mean sin, but the curtain there, my friend, could be anything else that's keeping us, barriers or obstacles or things and priorities, my friend. So, my friend, you have to understand that this condition is always ready to overtake us. That's why we are told to seek His presence continually. God calls us to enjoy His presence continually all the time. But, my friend, sometimes that curtain is pulled. Amen. If you don't believe me, you wait till you get on the job tomorrow. You know He's there, but you wait till your schedule's full and you can't worship God like you're doing right now. Doesn't mean you're lost, but sometimes you're like, man, I've got to make time. And if you don't make time for Him, you got a lot on your mind, a lot's going on. The manifest presence of God, He desires for that to be amongst us all of the times, and that condition is always ready to overtake the believer. So what does it mean to seek? This happens, my friend, through a continual seeking, what the Bible talks about. But what does it mean to us practically? Both the Old and the New Testament say it is a setting of the mind and the heart to seek the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm going to take a season and seek the Lord about something? It is the idea of doing this is where you're saying, look, Lord, I am going to make sure that even though I'm in Christ, I'm saved, you hear me, your covenant's there, I'm not present, Lord, I'm going to take time where I'm going to shove everything else out of the way. I'm going to set my watch to seek you. I'm going to rise up early in the morning, or I'm going to do it at night, whenever God leads you to do it. I'm going to push push back the plate, Lord. I'm going to open the Bible instead of eat. I'm going to lay on my face instead of watch something on TV. Instead of doing this or this, I'm going to seek Your face. And that's what it means, my friends, when you set your heart and set your mind to find the mind of God for your life, for direction, for need, or something in your life. And that, my friend, is what it means by seeking the face of God. It's knowing this. It's fixing and focusing all of your mind's attention and our heart's affection on one thing, and that is getting in the presence of God. Now, if you ain't done this before, I challenge you, try it. It's life-changing. Do you know, before I came here and took this church, I had to take a season of my life and I had to seek God? You know, I liked you. I take it you like me. I don't know. I've never asked. Well, I hope you do. But you know, I couldn't just say, did I want to come here? I said, Lord, that'd be a nice opportunity. Good church, good people. I mean, a good area to reach out in. You know what I'm saying? I'm not 40 hours away from my family. That was a blessing too. Amen. You know, you got 40 hours out in Kentucky. You know, I got offered a church somewhere in Ohio and I prayed about it, just didn't feel it was right. But you know, this church here, and when I say get off the church, I didn't ever entertain it is what I meant. It never got, if you know what I mean, follow me. I don't want to. But what I mean is, when it came time for me to come here, my friend, I had to say, look, I've got to know God's will. And the only way that I could know God's will is when I had to get in His presence. And the only way that I could get in His presence is I had to do everything I could. I mean, my schedule needed to be disrupted. I mean, my schedule, I even took a few times. There's been a few times in my life that I didn't need to preach a few nights because I needed to get in the presence of God. Do you know sometimes God will have you lessen your circle? Close yourself in. There was a few times, I remember one time I felt like I had to go to every camp meeting and every revival ever existed. It didn't matter where I was. I said, 20 hours, ain't nothing to it. Let's go. But I come to find out God's presence was just a real in that closet. And guess what? It's still good to go to camp meetings and encourage each other. I'm all for that. But I had God speak to my heart and said, you need to calm yourself down, son. Get in that closet and hear from God. Amen. It's seeking the presence of God. I want you to understand this principle because it is life-altering when you understand this. 1 Chronicles 22 and 19 says this, now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Colossians 3 says this, if you then have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on those things that are above. My friend, all of us need to understand this. We've got to learn to seek the presence of God. We need to learn to set our affections on the presence of God. And my friend, when you walk in past the veil, which is His flesh, when you're finally at the throne of grace, and even though, my friend, sometimes it seems like it's instant and other times you've got to pray through, however you get there, seek the presence of God, my friend. You've got to make a conscious choice to do that. It's not always just going to happen because you feel like it. But you follow me now, amen. Are we always in the presence of God? Yes. But are we always in the manifest presence of God like we need to be? We know we need to seek God. That conscious choice, what that means is the setting of the mind is opposite of mental coasting. Anybody, you ever heard the term putting it on cruise control? Unless your car's really old, you usually got one. Amen. There's some times in life we've got it on cruise, and that doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means we've got a routine. There's things you got to do. And I do it here sometimes. I say, look, Monday I've got this, Tuesday this, Thursday that, Friday night I've got to be here. But you know, every now and then there's a week that God has said, look, you can visit, but you need to pray. Come on. You pray other times. There comes a few times, says, look, you know, isn't it amazing we got time to visit? We got time to go out to eat. Got time to watch things. Got time to go here. Got time to go there. Got time to talk to everybody on the phone, but we have little time to seek His face. That's when somebody says, I really just don't have any time. I say, you really mean that? You either didn't make time. You can make time to seek His face. And I understand you can't. Look, I know everybody can't pray 4 hours a day. Some of us ain't got the attention span. Amen. You get in His presence, and you know, it makes everything seem quicker. You know, you really get in His presence. I know everybody's schedule don't do that. But you know, it doesn't hurt every now and then just to really, I mean, just say, look, Lord, this Saturday, instead of doing this, I think I'm going to do this. And it's seeking His presence. How do you grow in God? I'll tell you how. Do that. Seek His presence. Seek His face. How do you do it? I'm telling you, I challenge you as a church, from pastor to church and from church, please challenge me. Seek His presence. Get before His face, my friends. If you've got lost loved ones, go before the Lord. Amen. I promise you this, Holy Ghost conviction's real, and they don't have to come to church for conviction to meet them. Where there's a praying church, there can't be conviction. It comes from seeking His face. You think prayer meetings are important? We had one yesterday. That's fine. But how many knows that it wouldn't hurt to have like a prayer revival? Say, look, you know, we're not going to have an evangelist this week, but we're going to pray every night from 7 to 8. You understand what I'm saying? God will touch us for that. The Lord's been dealing with my heart. I need to seek His face. That is what Paul prays for the church. He says this in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. He was saying this. Your hearts need to be directed. It's that conscious effort on our part. But that effort to seek God is a gift from God. God gives you the ability. He lets you know, look, there's things I desire to do. But you need to seek me, my friend. We do not make that. You have to make that mental decision. And my friend, there's so many different ways that I've learned over the years, and I'm still learning. There's so many different ways that I have come into His presence when I am seeking His face. Isn't it amazing how God just moves and touches in so many different ways? Have you ever been sitting outside and looking at the skies and a season you're seeking the Lord and you're just looking up and you're just talking? I talk to the Lord walking sometimes. And sometimes nature alone just, I get a blessing. I do. It was just recently, I remember sitting out back there in the little cubicle of a yard we got. Amen. A small little thing. And somebody said, you need to borrow a lawnmower. I said, I'm all right. By the time I went and got the lawnmower, I could have done it with scissors. There had been a few mornings that I sat back and it's a horrible looking little pink chair. It's my wife's. I'm glad there's a fence. Amen. I'll sit out there in that little pink chair and sometimes I'm just talking to the Lord and looking up in the skies. And sometimes I said, Lord, you're there. You're everywhere. Amen. Look, and I was in the house early in the recliner and it wasn't there like that. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm outside and I'm just meditating and I'm like, Lord, you're there. Your manifest presence. I feel you. I know, God, you're inside the house. I know you were there too. But right now, God, I recognize, Lord, you're looking at me. You're present. I know I'm before your presence and I feel the joy of the Lord that rises up inside of me, my friend. You can seek God just by looking around and set your mind on Him. What about this, my friend? There's times you've just been reading the Bible. Prayerfully reading the Bible and all of a sudden you'll see something. You'll begin to weep. Feel the presence of God. That Bible, sometimes I'm telling you, when I'm seeking the face of God, there's sometimes I'm reading the Bible. I say, God, I felt like, you know, I know that's your word on paper, but I felt like you just taken that and spoke it to my heart. And you know what? That's what He did. Amen. He'll take it and He'll speak it to your heart. There's times you read the Bible and you feel it, my friend. There's sometimes that He shows Himself to us and the evidences of grace in other people. You ever seen God move and touch somebody else or work in their life? And you say, I know God's present. I know God did it. God's faithful. Seeking the face of God is when, my friend, you start seeing God everywhere. You know what I mean? I mean, you see Him everywhere. You know, when you're really seeking the face of God, I'm telling you, you can see Him while you're riding in the car. You know He's there. Amen. You can be at work, and even I'm telling you, just set in your mind to seek Him for a season. And even though you're same desk, same place, every day, same warehouse, like Brother Neff talks about a warehouse, I guess is what it is, or the shipyard, or all these different jobs different ones have. You know, you're sitting there, but when you're seeking the presence of God, guess what? You even realize, Lord, you're right here beside me at work. You feel His presence almost just lifting you up and encouraging you. But my friend, we've got to understand this. There are many obstacles that have to be avoided in this life. My friend, there's endless obstacles that we must get around in order to see Him clearly so that we might be in the light of His presence. We might, my friend, we've got to do this. Everybody does. When you're seeking the face of God, we must flee everything that dulls us spiritually. You know, some things that are not sin, but it dulls you spiritually. Come on. You know, it's not always, come to preach it, is this a sin? Sometimes I say, look, that's all right in moderation. If you don't believe that, my friend, try pushing back that plate about we can just pray instead of eating. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying that, for instance, you know, sometimes that appetite will dull. I've learned before, that'll dull the things of God. Sometimes you just say, look, Lord, I want to be in your presence. Some things you watch. Say, is it simple? It's not that. Okay, not about that, but you know David Wilkerson, that he started his ministry off to New York City. He said God dealt with him and said, look, that time you're watching 3 hours of it, why don't you pray instead? And that's when God sent him. You know why? He was seeking the face of God. When you're seeking the face of God, you sit there, you look at everything that is dulling your vitality, everything that's just erasing your sensitivity, and all of us would have to admit there's some times that you're more sensitive to the presence of God than others. Even though you know He's always there once again. There's sometimes you're more sensitive to Him being there. And we've got to understand this. As a church, you know what sharpens your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, and you know what dulls your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Be honest. What sharpens your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, and what dulls it? I'd submit to you that if every time we came to the house of God, if we just took 15 or 20 minutes before we got here and heightened our sensitivity to His presence, it would change you. I challenge you. You know, sometimes we'll get in the car and argue. I hope you don't do this. My husband's wife will argue on the way to church. Have you ever done it, Brother Derek? I have had a heated conversation. Nothing bad. We weren't arguing like mad, but just saying, I'm the kind of person in the morning, I kick in gear. I'll sing, you know, it can be 6 in the morning. My wife said, why are you down there singing? I'm just a morning person. But in the morning, I'm like, let's get gear. Let's go. And sometimes I realize I just sit there and stressed everybody out for no reason. Because we're there at the same time. We've got to heighten our sensitivity. But what if I did that and said, look, I can't wait to get the house of God and worship in this morning. Amen. No one at the church, I'm like, Lord, I can't wait to get there. Lord, I want to get in Your presence. God, I can't wait to. Lord, I'm just so excited. I challenge you, just pray 15 minutes before you come here and watch the difference in your response in worship and how you reception of the Word of God. Look, friends, we've got to understand this. We need not always to be in a rush, but we've got to understand when we get into His presence, but friend, that we direct our minds and hearts Godward and all of our experiences, we cry out to Him. This too, my friend, is what seeking means. Just when we are crying out to Him, if it be verbally or silently, from your heart, you're saying, God, I want to be in Your presence. When I first got saved, this is a principle that God helped me learn. And guess what? I didn't have an option. I didn't have no friends. When I got saved, I just went all out. I didn't. All the people I used to hang out with, I quit hanging out with them. Isn't that something? You get born again, you cut ties with the world. You know, that happens. Like I said, been a few times, you know, we get in a vehicle and a friend said, look, you want to meet me in town? I said, sure. And I have preaching and I have preaching playing on a CD. He said, what in the world is that? I said, that's preaching. He said, oh. He was Episcopalian. He was a Pentecostal preacher. He said, oh, okay. He said, I'll take your word for it. But, you know, he never called me again. But I remember, you know, the church we were, you know, Brother Shane and them are currently there at the moment. And, you know, we were attending there. And when we first got saved, it was me and my cousin Adam. Woo! A lot of youth, wasn't it? That's why I hear young people say, there ain't no youth. I say, you can still serve them. You can still serve them. Amen. What'd you do on Friday nights, Brother Derek? I went to the church. What'd you do? I prayed. What happened? I got in His presence. And you know, there's been times since then I said, Lord, I missed those days of less responsibility. Because it seemed like right then, back then, brothers and sisters, I had a lot less on my mind. And I could go in there in that old pine board church and just lay on my face. And I felt like I was with Paul up in the third heaven. I just can't describe it all. Amen. It was wonderful. I read one preacher that I've listened to before, and I've always respected his ministry. He said that when he first got married, he said he would have his work would give him a 7-day vacation. And he said he used it there for the first few years of their marriage. He said they didn't have no money to go anywhere. He said, so what I would do? He said, we had an old cabin that his family owned up on a hill. And he said, for 7 days, I'd just go to that cabin and worship God. He said, I'd fast and seek the Lord without food or water. He said, I don't know if that was safe or not, but he did. He said, just ignorance, he did it. He said, but this is a fact. He got before the face of God. Now, that may not, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying this, seek His face. So, we have to understand this. One of the great things we have to understand as a human is this. The great obstacle to seeking the Lord is this. You've got to make sure that all pride is gone out of your life, that you're completely humble, and that when you come to before the feet of God, you know this. You know what you are, and you know what you ain't. Amen. You're born again because Jesus came into your life. And you're seeking His face and you're gaining access, not because you deserve it. You're doing it because you're blood-bought. Amen. Humility. Yeah, I get frustrated when I hear these preachers say, "I just march into the throne of grace and I demand." You know, it's this mentality. You're like, what? I crawl in there, my friends, and I say, "Lord, it's me again. Can you look at me? Can I feel your presence?" That's what it means to seek the face of God. Now hear me today, my friend. This is the beautiful thing is this. The great promise is this, that there is a reward to those that will seek Him. The Bible lets us know this. It says, if you seek Him, He will be found. We do know that throughout Scripture. And what is the great reward? We know the Bible says this. It says that whoever will draw near to God, guess what God will do to you? Amen. This is a lot. This is pretty elementary. You come near to God, guess what? He's there. He'll draw near to you. You take a step, He'll take a step. Amen. You make a move, He'll make a move. You push back something, He'll come flooding your heart. That is the beautiful thing about this, my friend. That if you seek God, you draw nigh to Him. The Bible also tells us that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. God Himself, my friend, notices when we're trying to do this. And my friend, you cannot joke or kid or twist His arm. You can't fool God and say, "I'm really seeking His face." He knows. I can't, you know, it ain't my job to find out. He knows. I guess who else knew? Guess who else knows? You know. Amen. I know when I'm really seeking His face. I know that, my friend. So notice this. The great reward is this. Those that seek God will find Him. I want you to follow me this. This is something. God Himself is our greatest reward. And when we have Him, my friends, we have everything. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. That's what He's saying there. He's saying, look, you need to seek His presence all day long. You need to seek His presence at nighttime. You need to seek His presence on the job. We need to learn, friend, it is a great thing when you come before the face of God. Now let's look at an Old Testament example, my friend, just for a few moments. How many remembers the story when Jacob wrestled and came face to face with who? God. People say, was it an angel? Was it pre-incarnate Christ? You take which one you like. I like to say it's the second person of the divine Godhead. Heard one person say, well, that they didn't really wrestle. He was just praying. I said, oh, he wrestled. I said, he wrestled. You ever had to wrestle in prayer? Seeking His face? God teaches you something? And God shows you things about yourself you never knew existed. But at the end, you had to say, Lord, it was there. You're right. I'm sorry. Amen. That's what seeking God's face does. It challenges you. It makes you something. Notice this. We come now when we study the life of Jacob. We come to the second great spiritual crisis in the life of Jacob. We know the story that when he was at Bethel, he saw that ladder. But then we know this story here. He's at the river Jabbok, I guess, Jabbok, whatever you want to call it. This is the place that he saw the Lord. At Bethel, my friend, he became a believing man. Here at this river, he became a broken man. At Bethel, he became the Son of God. But here he became a saint of God. He came away from Bethel with a spring in his step. He came away from wrestling with this angel with a limp in his walk. It takes both worlds. You can't always just want to see the angels come up and down. And sometimes you've got to learn to hang on. And it may hurt. And it may take integrity. It may take wrestling. It may take you saying no to yourself. Oh my. It may take you saying no to somebody else. You can't always be available for everybody. You'll be available for Him. Amen. God's looking for that availability. So as we look at the story here, my friend, number one, Jacob was alone. Oh my. We read the story. We see that Jacob was very much alone. Jacob was left alone. We read in the Bible, his wealth had already gone before him. His family, his fortune, his service had all been sent away. And now Jacob was all by himself. My friend, this is what we would call, he was alone, had alone time. My friend, you know how many people go out of their way not to be alone? I like alone time. Hey, but I kind of enjoy myself by myself at times. And I don't mean that offensively. But I enjoy being by myself. And I know they're smiling because we always pick on Kayla. She don't like being alone. That's not what I'm saying. My little sister. We always joke around about that. But this is a fact today. When it comes, at times we structure our time to be full because we dare not be left alone. Absolutely nothing. We don't let anything disrupt our schedule. Yet there's nothing we need more at times but to be left alone with God and get in His presence. I said it before, you know, we come to the altar and we get alone with the Lord. And we're thinking about, I've got to get milk. You know? We're at home and our minds just are spouting out. That's why I'm a morning prayer. Amen. I like getting up before everybody else can get up. Amen. I like talking. It's just me. I like praying in the mornings because it's quiet. Oh, it's quiet. I've learned a little Chloe here. It's not always quiet in the mornings anymore. But guess what? Some mornings, you know, it's just when it's you and the Lord and you're just talking to Him. He's real. He can be real anytime. But I'm seeking the Lord. I'm alone with Him. We got a little something hanging on our wall. It's not a picture. It's like a little piece of art or something hanging on our wall. It said something like this: let us be silent that we can hear the voice of God. Do you know sometimes you're praying, you don't always have to say a whole lot? You ever just laid there and you knew you were in His presence? Let God talk to you sometimes. He'll speak to you. Now, I'm not one of those guys that always say God just speaks to me every single moment, every day. You know, I always joke around, so the charismatic, God speaks to them every other minute. They're eating cereal. Sing Jesus. Go to McDonald's. Sing an angel. I'm like, wow. Praise the Lord. You're already in heaven. I've had God speak to me a few times in my life, but the day I got called to preach, God spoke to me. To the place I thought I was a schizophrenic. Not joking. When I got saved, I don't know if I've ever testified before, but when I got saved, I don't know why God saved me. I didn't want to get saved at that apparent time. I went to a youth meeting, not to get saved, but I went there to see my friends. And God dealt with my heart. I went to the altar. I said, Lord, come in. And all of a sudden, I just felt changed, felt real. And I knew I was glad to be saved then. I wanted to be saved. But I couldn't figure out. I said, God, why'd you save me? And so I remember going out to the church after work. I remember I would go out to the church and I'd lay behind the pulpit, something like this, little, about the same size. And I would ball up. I can't do it no more. You can laugh. It's all right. I try every now and then. I say, I think I'll just lay down. Amen. I'd get in a ball and I was a lot skinnier than 150 pounds. And I'd pray. I remember one time, brothers and sisters, it's so real. And I can't say this happens all the time. I'm just saying it happened this time. I said, God, why did you save me? I said, there's got to be a reason you kept dealing with me. These words just as crisp and clear, and I do not exaggerate one bit. Derek, I've called you to preach the gospel. I will protect you. I will be with you. Audible in my... Nobody else... It pierced my whole being. It was like a whisper from... It was just so real. It was a still small voice. And I remember grabbing my head and I said, what's going on? I remember once again it said, Derek, I've called you to preach. I'll protect you where you go. Everything will be all right. I promise you. Trust me. And I said, I got up from there. I said, God spoke to me. But if I never sought His face, it would never happen. I remember, I said, this can't be right. I said, I'm not a preacher. I had to give a senior presentation to school. And we joke around because it took me 5 years to graduate. And it wasn't because I was stupid. It was because I hated school. And I just didn't want to go, so I quit going. And I was wrong. And I lied to my parents. I was wrong about all of it. I'm not justifying that. But I remember, I said, I can't sit here and talk in front of people. What? This ain't right. An 8-minute presentation at school, I about died. And that was the length of my first sermon. Actually, it was 7-something. Got the tape, you'll never hear it. But I remember, brothers and sisters, God speaking to me. And I remember, I said, I've got to get out of here. I remember going out to the car and I looked and I reached in my pocket, left my cell phone in the church. I said, I'll go back in the church and get my cell phone, and my keys were inside the church as well. I said, oh no, there's only one place I can go, and that's Brother Irvin's house. I remember, and he'll tell you to this day, I remember pulling up there and I remember knocking on the door and I remember him answering the door. And all I could say is, Brother Irvin, I'm called to preach. I was white as a ghost, he said. I couldn't tell, you know. He said, I was pale. He said, good. He said, seek for the Holy Ghost. He said, we'll let you preach. I remember 1 month later, I went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, you're preaching Wednesday? I said, what? And people were talking about, were you nervous? I said, I put it this way. I fasted for 3 days and turned my cell phone off. For 3 days, amen. And when you preach for 8 minutes, that's a little discouraging. I said, oh no. I guess you got to fast for 40 days to preach an hour. I didn't know. I'm just ignorant. I promise you. It's funny now, but that's the way my mind worked. I had no clue about the things of God, amen, and that magnitude, you know. But this is a fact. You seek Him, He'll talk to you, no matter where you are. You say, I ain't been saved. You know, I've heard preachers say this before, and it's so discouraging, disheartening. been saved 40 years, and I've heard God's voice maybe one time. I think God will use me in the gifts of the Spirit maybe once or two. I said, it don't have to be that way. God can speak to you now. Children, teenagers, God can speak to you now. You don't have to work your way up some ladder somewhere. You seek His face, and God will speak to you. What's my advice to every family? Seek His face. Every husband, seek His face. Every wife, seek His face. Jacob was alone. I mean, my friend, sometimes get alone. Turn off everything. Just get alone with God. But get this, there's something that had to happen to Jacob when he got alone with God. Even though Jacob was alone, Jacob was very much alive. Let me explain. Jacob was a supplanter by nature. We know that, my friend. And when Jacob went there and he wrestled with his angel, he was still that old, carnal, stubborn, fighting, self-sufficient, unyielding Jacob that was very much alive. It was a process that took God all night. And it wasn't because of God's fault, but God was teaching Jacob something. Amen. Do you know sometimes when you're seeking the face of God, you're going to do some wrestling in your spirit? Lord, should or shouldn't I? God, shouldn't I go or should I go? Lord, am I called to preach or am I not called to preach? Lord, should I marry this one or not marry this one? God, should I seek for this job or not this job? God, should I do this or not do that? God, should I purchase this or not purchase that? Seeking His face in everything, wrestling in your spirit, doing what you need to do to make the decisions you need to make. And here it is, Jacob's wrestling, and God's pretty much saying, look, there's some things you need to get right, Jacob. There's a process that's taking place. My friends, guess what? If you've never been to the place that you wrestle with God, there's some things that live in our spiritual lives that God's been wanting to destroy for 20 years. Because we avoid His presence in deep intercession and prayer, sometimes God can't touch those things until you really get alone. There's sometimes when you get alone, it's not always the most pleasant thing that you desired at first. God's told me no before. Amen. There's been a few times I really thought it was God's will. There's been a few times that God said, no, it's not. Amen. God will tell you no sometimes. But sometimes God will tell you yes. But you don't know until you seek Him. If you walk carelessly through life and just saying, it feels good, I'm going to do it. I think so because I want to. And all of this, sometimes we run into situations where we realize that we're very much alive. Alive, my friend. We've got to understand this. Not only was Jacob very much alive when he was wrestling with God here, he had to learn to surrender. But guess what? Jacob eventually in this wrestling here, he was broken by God. Now notice this. Jacob was blessed in the place where he was broken completely. Sometimes God will touch you in areas, deal with your things. It may hurt you, but there's a blessing there. God had been wrestling with Jacob for 20 years, basically. We like to think it was just one night. But he's been dealing with Jacob a long time. Right? He wanted Jacob to see something. God had tried to show Jacob everything he had put his hand to has pretty much gone wrong. For 20 years, I wonder how many people in the church world, things have been going wrong for that long because they yet to get His presence and wrestle with His presence and know what God wants. Amen. I feel this in my heart tonight. Amen. This is not even all my notes. I just want you to know, God wants you to seek Him. Here it is, Jacob. He has to understand that despite his own cleverness and plannings, the only way he's been able to get by, Jacob was stubborn, so finally God had did something. He struck Jacob in his hip socket so that his thigh was dislocated. The thigh is the strongest part of the body, and that was the part that God struck. Sometimes God has to break the strongest places, touch the strongest issues in our life, things that we feel like we need. God will break that. This is what I look at this. Number four is this. Another point is this. Jacob was hungry for God. How can you wrestle all night, Brother Derek? Or how can you wrestle until you get what you need or an answer from heaven? You get hungry enough, you'll go through. I say it for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I say it from answers from heaven. The reason people do not receive sometimes answers and all these different things is because you get to hunger and thirst like you need to. Desperation needs to be your cry. When you're desperate to get an answer, I promise you, God will never leave you empty-handed. God will never leave you wondering. God will never leave a question mark there. You really seek His face with determination and with a mindset. You'll be surprised when you make your mind up and finally let God know that I'm hungry, Lord. This is what I am. My friend, this is what we can understand. Here it is, how God had waited for so long for Jacob to reach this point. He had spent his life. Here Jacob was. He spent his whole life grabbing a birthright. He'd been trying to grab at women, grab at money, grab at property. Now, my friend, he lets go of them all. He grabs hold of God. Trying to grab everything else but God in this life. Sometimes we'll try to grab this and grab that and grab that. When's the last time you got hold of God and said, I'm not letting go till You answer me. I'm not letting go till You bless me. I'm not getting up from here till You do this. Till You fill me, till You strengthen me, till You heal me. Whatever it is, it's a holding on. It is a grabbing on, my friend. Next thing is this. He was honest with God. What's your name? What's your name? Do you know some years earlier, Isaac laying on his bed there blind asked him the same question? What's your name? Who are you? I'm Enoch. You liar. He lied. Agree with it or not, he did. Now God's asking his name. You ain't Enoch. What's your name? Esau, I'm sorry. I've seen something going on. Amen. I used to call him Zayu, but we'll call him Esau. Amen. What's your name? He said he was Esau. But here it is, my friend, years later. And that was in my notes and I didn't read it to you. But years later, here it is. He's wrestling and God said, what's his name? He had to be honest. Lord, I'm Jacob. That's who I am. You know what the name Jacob means? Lord, I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. This is what I am. He was honest before God. Now hear me today. At first, Jacob is wrestling in his own strength for his own way. But hear me. Later, Jacob's strength is broken. You know, God sometimes will break your strength. And this is all Jacob could do. All he could do was hold on. You know, sometimes God will take the fight out you. You can lay there and He says to say, Lord, I'm just hanging on. Do what You need to do. I'm going to cling to Him. That's what happens. Here he is, my friend. He's simply clinging to Christ, so to speak, for His blessing. He's helpless. He's lame. He's ready to fall. But my friend, he says, all I can do, I can't fight no more. All I can do is hold on to You, Lord, and I'm going to hold on until You bless me. Sometimes it wouldn't hurt us to realize I'm wrestling a losing battle here. I ain't going to win. Sometimes we have God picture. We're sitting down at a cup of coffee with Him. We're negotiating His will. Saying, well, I'll take this if You'll do this, Lord. And that's not God. God is this way. Is I'll let You fight. I'll let You... You ever had somebody... You ever seen somebody smaller trying to fight somebody bigger? And that bigger person just put his hand out? You know what I'm talking about? And the small person just going like this. Might describe some prayer lives. Amen. Love You, son, but let go and let God. Quit wrestling. Just hang on. Notice this. He left there that day. After he left that, and after he wrestled with the Lord, he left there with a changed name and a changed walk. No longer are you Jacob the supplanter, but you're Israel. Everybody know what Israel means? Prince, as if I'm not mistaken, a prince. Prince of God. Notice that. Not only that, but he had a different walk. Where he used to walk with a spring in his step. I mean, he's clever, he's witty, he's quick, he's sly. But here it is. He used to have a spring in his step, but guess what he's doing now? He's leaning. He ain't what he, you know, my friend, doesn't look like what he used to be, but he's a lot more than what he used to be. I've got a message I like to preach called The Limping Bride. Once again, God, take it out of the church. God, if we have to go across the finish line limping, let us do it trusting You. That's what Jacob had to learn. God, I'm going to lean upon You. We've got to learn to seek the face of God. Hear me today. David Branford, which was a missionary. Many of you heard of him. I read his diary some, just get my mind on seeking the face of God. He was known to seek the face of God. This missionary was by the name of David Branford. If I have his name right there. This is what his diary says. On Wednesday, April the 21st, it says this, and God again enabled me to wrestle for numbers of souls and had more fervency in the sweet duty of intercession. Whew. When's the last time that intercession was sweet to you? Notice what he says. That was on April the 21st. the Lord's Day, April the 25th. This morning I spent about 2 hours in secret duties and was enabled more than ordinarily to agonize for immortal souls. Though it was early in the morning and the sun scarcely shined at all, yet my body was quite wet with sweat. He done prayed himself. He was sweating. And it was nighttime. Notice this second Saturday, December 15th. Spend much time in prayer in the woods and seem to be raised above the things of this world. Seeking the face of God. He said on Monday, March the 14th, in the morning he was almost continually engaged in prayer. Thursday, August the 4th, he says this, was unable to pray much through the whole day. Pray much through the whole day. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. He said this on Thursday, November the 3rd, spent this day in secret fasting and prayer from morning till now, till night, seeking the face of God. As my wife goes to the piano, appreciate you listening tonight. And what I desire for you to enter into your heart as a church, from a pastor to a church, let's seek the face of God. Old brother B.H. Clendenin tells a story. Many of you may have heard this before. But one day he got the diagnosis from the doctor. You have a very, very serious heart condition and you're going to die, and I don't know if we can do anything to help you. He went home. Honey, the doctor said, I'm going to die. Got a heart condition. If I'm not mistaken, as the story goes. She said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to seek the face of God. He said, I'm going to a hotel room. He said, don't call me. I'll call you. He said, I may be there a while. He said, but I've got to get away from everyone. And I've got to get alone with God. 9 days later, he calls his wife. Honey, I'm coming home. He said, I've been healed. He lived up to his mid-80s. The description of his testimony was this. He didn't eat anything or drink any water for about 9 days, if I'm not mistaken, about the water part. He said, I read pretty much the whole entire Bible. He said, I think he read it in 12 days one time, but he read it then. He said, I was completely through the Old Testament, just reading the promises of God. He said, and one morning about 2 o'clock, he said, I felt a hand literally go inside of me, it felt like. He said, and God just told me, you got a brand new heart. Testimony by others, his wife said he was going to die. He lived. What am I saying? Friends, seek the face of God. Simple. Simple. We need to seek His face. Amen. If you would stand to your feet tonight. And this altar call is going to be simple. Guess what my altar call is? Can we seek His face? Amen. And not only when we're here tonight, seek His face, church, but everybody has different schedules and different seasons of life, different things going on. I encourage you throughout your weeks and months and years to come, constantly, continually be seeking His face. I know some days are busier than others. Some weeks are busier than others. I know that. I know. But don't ever get to the place that you feel like, well, God, I know You're present. But get to the place where you come into His presence. And that veil and that curtain of carnality, walk in, move the curtain, walk in. And just lay before His face, however you need to do it. It could be through the nature, it could be through Word. But seek His face. Amen. Find you a place to pray tonight in these altars. Can we seek His face with all of our hearts and ask God to help us once again? I know this is a sobering message, a challenging message. But my own life, I said, God, I want to do more. I want to do more, Lord Jesus. I want to do more. Holy Ghost, help us, Lord, minister in these altars.